Adam Clayton Powell. Mm-hmm. And they call him a racist because he speaks so bluntly on the race issue. But I'm not, as I said, not too familiar with Dawson and his work.
Let me return to the Nation of Islam per se, Minister, by raising a question which struck me as a result of reading some of Baldwin's work, namely The Fire Next Time. Baldwin pointed out that in Harlem for many years he had passed the street corners and the soapboxes and heard people speaking from these platforms who were known as black nationalists, and nobody was listening. And he said all of a sudden he realized that people were beginning to listen to the Muslim speakers on the street corners in Harlem. The message essentially was the same, but it was that now many, many people were listening to what this message was. And you pointed out that the Nation of Islam has been in the picture for about 33 years. What is it, in your judgment, that has caused this tremendous amount of support that the Nation of Islam has garnered in the Negro community in, say, the last 10 years?
When you put a seed in the soil, it remains beneath the soil until the season changes. And when the season changes, that the seasonal change automatically brings about rather atmospheric conditions, bring about a seasonal change that makes that seed come up or crop grow in its appointed time. And all over this world today, God himself has brought about political changes, a political atmosphere, sociological, social atmosphere, economic atmosphere. These economic conditions, these political conditions and social conditions combine to bring about a situation that is making black people in America more receptive, their mind more fertile to the seed of truth that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been planting for 30-some years. And this is springing up today and causing our people to see and understand now what they couldn't see and understand before.
What is the nature of this situation which is making black people more receptive?
In the past, say, 15 years, how the nations have emerged, dark nations have emerged in Africa. Prior to 10 years ago, most Negroes identified Africa with a savage, jungle-like place. And whenever you mentioned the word African, in their mind's eye, they could see the image of someone running around with a spear, with no language, who'd say Ugga Bugga Boo or Bwana or something, and who'd be in a jungle running from lions or chasing lions. But then when, after the war, when the United Nations was set up in New York City, black people began to look at men like Tom Mboya. They began to look at men like Nkrumah. They begin to see men like Lumumba. They begin to see men like Nasser. They begin to see these Belawa and Azikwe, who could exchange intellectually with whites on an international level in a political forum and hold their own. This made the black people in this country realize that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had been teaching all the time actually had substance. And they begin to turn it over in their mind and see that what he was saying had more weight to it than what these other Negroes were saying. And they begin to identify themselves with the black world and the black struggle more closely than they identified themselves with this so-called white world.
Let me ask you a question with respect to a statement which Essien Udom quotes as being on a bulletin board in the University of Islam in Chicago by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. According to Essien, Mr. Muhammad states, "Up, you mighty race, you can accomplish what you willed. Build your future on these foundations, freedom, justice, and equality." What is the definition of freedom, justice, and equality for the black man? And where and when is it to be attained?
Well, take equality first. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't teach us to associate equality with whites. Equality has nothing to do with whites. We don't want to be equal with the white man. He's not the criteria or yardstick by which equality is measured. He's not in a position to tell us we are equal. It's not his right. It's not his to do. Equality, we want equality. We had equality before the white man was created. We had equality before the white man came into existence. And we want equality whether the white man is on this earth or not. Equality means the opportunity to develop all of our dormant potential, all of our dormant capability. In developing this dormant capability, the right and the ability to stand on this earth on some land of our own and bring about a civilization and a society in which we will be completely independent, complete freedom to take care of the needs, to take care of the wants and the likes and the dislikes of our people, to establish our own nation, our own society, our own heaven, our own future. This is what we mean by freedom, by equality, and justice means as you sow, so shall you reap. If you do wrong, you'll get wrong in return. And if you do right, you'll get right in return. When you're in your own nation, in your own land, you're in a position to get justice. But when you're in another man's country, in another man's land, under another man's flag, and under another man's government, and under another man's court system, you have to look to that other man for justice, and you'll never get it. And Negroes in this country probably are authorities on that. Yeah.